Dr. Fauci, welcome back to the studio. How are you?
Thank you, John. It's a great pleasure to be here.
It's 11:19 on WGM. It says here Dr. Fauci, and I don't remember your first name, Dr. Fauci.
Amani.
Amani Fauci. Where are you from, by the way?
Egypt, originally.
Were you born in the United States or born in Egypt?
Born at home, Egypt.
In Egypt. Yeah. When did you emigrate to the United States?
1998.
Did you always want to be an eye doctor?
Yeah, for sure.
98. So were you a doctor there?
Yeah, I was already an eye doctor at that point.
So you are now an ophthalmological surgeon. What is your title? What do you do?
Professor at Northwestern. And professor of ophthalmology.
A professor of ophthalmology. But you also work on detached retinas.
Yeah,
so you're a surgeon.
Yeah.
I see. You were the doctor that I saw when one day my retina detached, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
I just saw a couple flashes of lightning. The next day, it looked like I was looking through a photographic film. I went to the emergency room at Northwestern after waiting a full day because, you know, I'm a guy and I thought it'll take care of itself.
Right.
But I knew something bad was happening. And then 24 hours after going into the ER, you reattached my retina, correct?
Absolutely.
We got so many calls about my experience. And then, as it turns out, Savannah Guthrie was sitting there with her 2 or 3 year old. He picked up his toy truck, threw it in her face, hit her in the eye, and her retina tore. Have you followed this story?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I watched that story. And it's not unusual that babies will do crazy things, even jabbing their eye at someone's mom's eyes.
How often is a detached or torn retina a function of trauma, like what she went through, or me, just randomly it gets weak and rips?
So I'd say maybe 50-50.
Really?
So some people just have weak retinas and any simple trauma can cause it. And some people, you know, have it when the gel detaches naturally and then a tear happens.
So I think this is what happened to me. Tell me, as I've been telling the story now, I think I've got it right based on what you told me. So when mine tore, right? I didn't go in right away.
Mm-hmm.
And then that fluid in your eye starts to go in where the tear is, and now it starts to push the retina away from the eyeball wall.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's not just a torn retina, it's a detached retina. Now it's pulling away. If I'd gone in sooner, the repair would have been simpler, correct?
Absolutely.
Maybe I would have kept more vision, although I think I have 100% of my vision. My field is clear.
Awesome.
So, but I mean, you're playing with time if you don't get it done right away. How long between a torn or detached retina and you don't get that eyesight back?
So that's a great question. So if you catch it when it's just a tear and you could laser it in the office, that's a simple procedure.
Really, that would be done in the office?
In the office.
Zip, zip, and we're done.
And you're awake. We don't have to put you to sleep or nothing. So then it turns into a retinal detachment, and if it's like in your case, it never involves the center, then your chances of getting your central vision back and most of your field back are almost 100%.
Really?
Then if you waited longer, then your central vision would go away. You'd have a hard time reading or seeing people, and that would be a harder fix because then it could take up to a year to get back most of your vision, and sometimes not all of it.
Yeah.
It depends on how long you wait.
But it's funny because if the retina is detached, as it is inside there, you'd think that tissue not going to live, it's going to die. Or does it still have blood going to it and it's still alive?
That's a great question again. So the blood supply comes in from the inside of the retina, so it's okay. But the outer retina, where the most sort of important cells for vision are, those are the cells that are starved the most. So the inner retina stays alive, but the photoreceptors, the light-sensing cells, they're the ones that are starving.
Yeah. So then you were on with us, and you were telling this story. Sounds like Savannah Guthrie's going to be okay. She's getting laser treatments, and they say she's fine.
Yeah.
More or less.
Yeah.
She says that anyway. But she's also kind of like I was, afraid to move about.
Right.
She doesn't want to jingle her head too much and have the thing go boink again.
Right.
Which may be necessary in her case, it sounds like. Then we just started to ask you general questions about eye health.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I'm looking at a computer screen for 8 hours a day, does that damage my vision? And you said no.
No. I get that question almost every day.
I can't believe that you would say that, too.
Yeah.
I mean, because I think if we're sedentary and sitting there looking at devices all day long, that's not good for our general health.
Right.
But in terms of your eyeballs, it's not hurting them.
No, it's not. It's not. As long as you're wearing your correct prescription. So some people are wearing the wrong prescription and they get headaches at the end of the day and things like that. These people need to check their prescription, make sure they have the right one in so they don't get the strains and stresses on their eye.
Having expressed my story, I know people now when they see floaters, they're running to their eye doctors. Mm-hmm. a shower of a bunch of floaters could be a sign that you've hurt your retina, correct?
Absolutely.
But as we get older, don't we have more floaters anyway?
So I tell my patients, if you have the same floater that you've named, that you know, you don't have to worry about him. But if you get a new shower of floaters, any little ones, a ton of them, those are the ones you need to be concerned about.
Okay, but I think a lot of people have more today. If I'm 60, I'll bet I have more floaters in my field of vision than I was 20.
Absolutely.
So when do you become alarmed? It's the suddenness of it, isn't it?
The acuteness, yeah. The acuteness and the newness of them and the amount. So the large amount, acutely, and new. Those are the three things to watch.
You know, we go to the eye doctor to get our glasses. A lot of us squint and cheat. Did you know that?
Yeah, I see it every day.
You can tell us every single day?
I see it and cheating from the other eye.
Oh, I know. Yeah, and I don't know what that is. It's a matter of vanity, I guess. Like, I don't want to admit I'm not doing as well as I'm not doing.
Yeah.
But you're trying to get prescription lenses, so I guess you should never squint and cheat when you're doing that, right?
I think it's not in your interest to get the wrong glasses, because then they won't work once you leave the office and you can't squint all the time.
Well, you do, but then you get the new glasses and you squint more.
Yeah.
Do you care if I get bifocals or trifocals or the blended lenses?
I personally don't care, but sometimes it's hard for people to adjust. So if you're always used to having single vision lenses and you switch to bifocals, it takes an adjustment period. So it's something that you have to be aware of, that you have to move your head to see things. And when you're going downstairs with a bifocal, it could trip you out.
Is there something about diet for diabetics or the rest of us that we should know to make our eyes better?
So for people in general, a healthy diet is good, and eating lots of greens is good for the retina.
Really? Not necessarily carrots, right?
Anything that's green, got lots of greens. So the greener the better. Kales, spinaches.
Are good for your eyes?
Good for your eyes in general.
What about diabetics?
Diabetics is a healthy diabetic diet is good for the eyes. There's nothing special about diabetes. Whatever's good for diabetes is good for the eye.
Or good for a regular person is good for a diabetic.
Absolutely.
With respect to their eye care.
Absolutely.
My number is 312-981-7200. Not surprisingly, lots of calls and questions for our guest. You can call or text right now, Dr.
Amani.
Amani. I'm sorry.
Like Giorgio.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah.
Fauzi is here, and she's a professor of
Ophthalmology
at Northwestern. Okay, 312-981-7200. You get to ask your questions next on WGN. Tell me if you can relate to this at all.
Okay.
If I feel a sneeze coming on, I can look in a bright light and that will trigger my sneeze.
Right.
Do you know that? Do you have that?
Yeah, that's true.
Is that pretty common, do you think?
Is this a Bill Bryson thing?
I have not read it in his book, but I carry it with me, and I could read to you passages from Bill Bryson's The Body.
I think that's the thing. If you look at a bright light, it brings on a sneeze.
Dr. Amani Fauzi from Northwestern.
You're
going to
make me a liar, right?
No, it's true. It's true, but it doesn't happen to everybody. And so in patients which have it, I have to be careful, because as soon as I put the light in their eye, they...
Achoo!
Yeah, so I got to be careful with them.
And Dr. Steve, I read one time, I don't know where I found this, but it said there's a name for that reflex, and that it tends to happen in people that have higher IQs, more intelligent people.
Well, so I don't know that I have it, because if I have a sneeze coming on and I look at the light, it brings on the sneeze.
Right.
Helps it along.
That's me.
But it doesn't just... I don't just sneeze if I look at a bright light.
Me neither. Right. But for some people, literally that. Look at a bright light.
And then they start sneezing.
Oh, wow.
And they know themselves. So they warn me.
Warn you. Hey, doc, you might want to put up a sneeze tray or a guard or something like that, huh?
Yeah.
Dr. Amani Fauzi is in our studio. She's an ophthalmologist and surgeon at Northwestern. She is downtown. She's the doctor that I saw when I detached my retina earlier this year. We talked too much about that, but I'm not the only one that goes through this or has questions about eye care, safety, and health. We asked the doctor to come back and answer some of your questions. Doctor, I was diagnosed with dry eye. What is that? How is it corrected? Dry eye?
So that's a very, very common thing. So the tear film is not adequate to cover the eyes. And some people, sometimes it's aging, sometimes the weather, sometimes it's a disease of dryness of the mouth and the eye. So there are many ways to do it. Sometimes diet helps. Eating omega fatty acids is thought to help. But you should see an eye doctor who could fix it. So there's ways to
preserve. There is a way to treat that.
Preserve it, yeah.
John, why do I sneeze multiple times when I walk outside and my eyes hit the sunshine? This is me and Steve Bertrand.
Yeah.
This is not uncommon.
It's nothing
to be concerned about.
No, it's not a disease.
773, should I be concerned if I see occasionally after standing up or bending, I see stars? I'm a female, age 31. I'm healthy, but when I stand up or bend from squatting position, I see stars.
So that could be a sign of something going on with your blood pressure. So I would see a general doctor first to make sure that your blood pressure doesn't
fall. You can understand why they see eye doctor, because it's what I'm seeing. But that strikes you as not an eye problem.
It could be something related to blood pressure.
A blood flow problem.
Yeah, blood pressure.
Mike, you're on WGN. What can we do for you? Mike, you're on the air.
Yes, doctor. I was wondering, what is the best and safest treatment for diabetic retinopathy? And the reason why I ask is, I had retina tears in my right eye. They did the laser treatment and then put the gas bubble in it. When the gas bubble finally went away, I don't have central vision in my right eye anymore. My left eye also had retina tears. They did the cryotherapy, and I've got a macular pucker there. And I'm going to see a retina specialist this coming week, and I think I may need some kind of procedure, but I think there's two different ones. Do you recommend one over the other? Because if anything happens to my left eye, then I can't read, I can't drive.
Okay, any ideas for him?
So I think it depends on what type of diabetic retinopathy you have. So there's areas of the diabetic retinopathy that we could just simply treat with a laser, but there's areas where we actually absolutely have to give you injections. So it sort of depends on what kind of diabetic retinopathy you have. If you have swelling in the retina, do you have new blood vessels growing, do you have bleeding in the retina? All those things require different types of treatment.
I hope that helps. Thank you for the call. We can't diagnose people's cases too thoroughly here, but we want to give out some general information if we can. This texter said, do you think it's a good idea for people to wear sunglasses year-round, regardless of the weather? I think some people think I'm protecting my eyes if I wear sunglasses. Is this a good idea?
So there's good evidence that sunglasses in sunlight protect from UV radiation, but you're right. Sometimes there's sun hidden by clouds and there's UV there that we're not seeing. So if you feel that you're out in a bright light, and there's, especially when you're skiing, for example, that's why we wear sunglasses when we're skiing.
I think that's what Joe's kind of talking about online, too. Hey, Joe, are you there?
Yeah, that's exactly what my question was. Is there a difference between no protection sunglasses or sunglasses with UVA and B protection?
And that's what we're looking for. UVA and B is the main reason we wear sunglasses. Not just for the light, but it's the damaging UV light that
I don't know, when people buy sunglasses, do they think about that? Should I look for UVA and UVB protection on my sunglasses?
Absolutely. That's
I never
exactly
thought of that. Because is this
about.
True? And Joe, maybe this is why you're worried, but I mean, the same way your skin gets sunburned, you can sunburn the interior of your eye. You need that particular kind of coating. Is that
absolutely,
correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And we get that even in a cloudy day like today.
Yeah, so I've heard. Joe, does that help?
It does help. And so if I have no protection at all, then that means that is my retina or my pupil opening up larger and actually letting more UV light in with no protection?
The pupil doesn't open up when you don't have sunglasses, but it's just in general, the exposure to that UV light, regardless of where your pupil is getting into the eye, and it's a good idea to protect
against. Okay, UVA, UVB, buy them that way. And maybe it's a little more expensive, but if you're going to spend the money, spend it smart. Joe, thanks for the phone call. Let's go to Jill. You're on WGN with Dr. Fauci. Hi, Jill. You're on the air.
Hi. My question for the doctor is, I am beginning to develop almost like a prism light around each peripheral vision on both of my eyes. I cover one up to see if it's on both, and it is. I'm 65, and I don't wear glasses. I do wear readers.
So I think what you're experiencing is probably the earliest development of cataract in the eye. So you get these little spokes of irregular shaped things in the periphery of the lens, and they could do that kind of prismatic effect to the light. And so I'd suggest you see an eye doctor who specializes in cataract, and they can evaluate it. If it's very minor and it's not really affecting your daily life, I would just defer to the eye exam. If it's bothering you, we recommend addressing it. If it's not really that...
Well, cataracts, you lose your vision, don't you, if it's severe?
So, as cataracts progress, they could affect your central vision, your reading, your driving at night.
But it's possible that if it's early stages are not so severe, don't do anything about it?
Yeah, so if it's not affecting your daily life, surgery is a
surgery.
Yeah,
but I want to do something now to keep it from getting worse, no?
So there's no point of no return. So cataracts are elective surgeries. We don't recommend them emergently or urgently. There's nothing to lose by waiting if it's not affecting your vision.
Oh, no kidding, really. So yeah. I can wait as long as I want, and then when I get the cataract surgery, I will be restored as fully as if I had acted sooner.
Absolutely.
You can wait and you don't, yeah. Unlike the detached retina story.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Didn't know that. But, of course, I'm not an eye doctor.
But you're
That's
getting
why
there.
You're here. She calls me Dr. John. Thanks for the call, Jill. I hope that helps.
It does very much. Thank you.
And I appreciate your phone call. Frank, you're on WGN Radio. What can we do for you, Frank? You're on the air. Hold on a second. Hey, Frank, are you there?
Yes, I am here.
Hi, Frank. What do you want to say? You're on with Dr. Fauci.
Good morning, Doctor. Good morning, John. Years ago, I had someone tell me that if you're, say, like in church or a public place where you're trying to stop yourself from sneezing, you're supposed to look at the light, but a lot of people that I have told to do this, they just tilt their head and look straight up at the light. But what I was told the right way to do it was keep your head level and look up with your eyes as far as you can to kind of stretch out the sinus cavity, and that kind of suppresses the sneeze. Is there any truth behind that?
How but about
it does,
that?
That does work. That does work for myself.
Yeah, I don't know the science about
that. You're not a sneziologist, are you?
But I don't know the science, but I'll look that up. That sounds very interesting.
I'm going to try that next time, Frank, because Bertrand and I go through that thing all the time. But now instead of looking up, I'm just going to look forward and tilt my eyes up, right?
That's the important thing, to keep your head level and to stretch out the eye muscles or the eyeballs to go, like, to roll your eyes into your head as far as you can. And half the time it's successful, and the other half I can't explain why it does or does not work.
Oh, that's funny. Okay, Frank, thanks for the phone call. That's advice from Frank, not from Dr. Fauci, just to be clear about that, but I don't mind. There was another call I wanted to get in here, and I think it's Karen. Hey, Karen, this is John. You're on the air. What can we do for you, Karen?
Yes, my son back in 2005 wore his contacts for like 48 hours straight, went swimming, the whole thing, slept in them, and ended up with something called acanthamoeba. And it's very serious condition. Thankfully, UIC saved his eye. Most times people end up with a cornea transplant. But I just want people to be aware of the fact that when your eye doctor tells you, wash your hands before you put your contacts in, or don't wear them all the time, make sure you clean them. It's not just because you're going to get pink eye or conjunctivitis. It's because you can actually get an amoeba that will attack the nerves inside your eye and damage it. And one other comment, too. I've had my eyes checked forever, and that puff of air that they do for the pressure in the eye isn't always accurate, because I found out when they actually touched my eye that I ended up having glaucoma, and now I'm being treated for that. Even though I yearly had that puff of pressure done, it was inaccurate. Just encourage everybody to get a baseline.
Thank you for the call. Hold on. I want the doctor to comment on all of
that. So these are great ideas. So the other thing about acanthamoeba is don't wash your contact lenses with just clear water. Use the solutions that the doctors recommend, because that water contact lens lets these bacteria and fungi grow on the
That's the concern. It's not just scratching your cornea,
no.
But it's this fungus that can grow in there.
Yeah.
That's what her son got through. Do you have an opinion about soft contact lenses or wearable contact lenses, that sort of thing?
The most important thing is not to wear them too much. So basically, don't sleep in your contact lenses, regardless of whether they're breathable or not breathable.
You would still take them out.
Take them out at night, because you could starve the cornea of oxygen and cause problems.
And she said wash your hands, make sure that you're clean.
Wash your hands and use clean solution. Don't use expired solution. Don't use a solution that's been there for a long time. And definitely don't swim with your contacts on.
Pages and calls for Dr. Amani Fauci from Northwestern. She's an ophthalmologist there and a professor of ophthalmology. We're out of time. It goes quickly, doesn't it?
Thank you, John. It's been fun.
Has it been?
Yeah.
I think you've always got a
I've
smile.
I've learned something.
about sneezing. You've always got a smile on your face. Your information is always very helpful. Will you come back on again sometime in the near future?
Absolutely.
We will make it abundantly clear when she will return. Otherwise, everybody, take care of yourself. And Dr. Fauci, thanks for coming in.
Thank you, John.